Hey, special educators, I'm Jennifer from Positively Learning. Welcome to the Special Educators Resource Room. If you're like me, you're always looking for ways to save time and streamline your work. That's why this podcast was created, to give you the systems and solutions you need to get your time back. Tune in for tips, tricks, and tools that will help you manage your workload and make the most of your time. Whether you're brand new or experienced, all are welcome in the Special Educators Resource Room. Hey, Special Educators, it's Jennifer from Positively Learning. Thanks so much for tuning in. Let's talk strategy, specifically how we plan our instruction for students. As special educators, we are very used to doing whatever it takes, which means we are trying any strategy that's going to work with our students. And very rarely do we find ourselves reaching for the same strategy over and over again, except this one exception, and that is using backward planning. Have you used this strategy? I'm going to spend this podcast episode persuading you to use backward planning for your own lesson preparation. I'm just kidding. I'm not actually going to try to persuade you, but I am going to share facts and my opinion and why I chose to use it. I've actually been working on preparing this podcast for a very long time, but there's just so much information I wanted to share with you that it would have been a super long episode and probably not that interesting to listen to. So what I did instead is I put all of the facts, the how-tos and the whys, and I put that into a blog post. I will link that in the show notes. And I'll spend this episode giving a brief background, but then also giving some real-life examples. But first, let's fill in some background information, understanding backward planning, the basics. So backward planning takes that traditional lesson planning design and flips it on its head. We're starting with the end in mind, and then we're working our way backwards. We know what the goal is. Now let's work, how are we going to get there? It sounds like writing IEP goals, right? Essentially, we should already be doing this. When we write our lessons, we have a lesson objective, and then at the end, we have our assessment, and they work as bookends. They should closely match or align. And then what comes in between is having our students get practice with that lesson objective, and then we're going to assess to see how they did. Backwards planning is a little bit different. The way I used it as a inclusion teacher is I would look at the unit assessment before the unit began, and I would think, what do my students need to know and what are they going to be assessed on? And then I can backwards plan. Okay, we have 15 lessons in this unit. I know those big standards, the big power standards that my students need to know. That is what we're going to focus on. How are we going to get there? So I had the end in mind, and then I would look at the lessons. I feel a little funny even explaining this because aren't we all doing it this way? But then I remember my first few years. I guess what I was doing was forward thinking. So I was looking at the unit, those 15 lessons, and I was thinking, what is my student going to be learning? What activities are we going to be doing? Where am I going to supplement? And then I would start teaching, and all of a sudden, we're at the end of the unit, probably ran out of time, and it's time to be assessed. And then my students didn't do so well. By backwards planning, I could pull out, here's what we need to know. Here's what we need to understand, because we're going to be applying this on that assessment. And that's going to give me that feedback if you really understand those standards or not. Now, one objection may be, that's like teaching to the test, right? And I think, absolutely not. That is nothing like that. What I'm doing is looking at this unit as a whole. I'm starting at the end. What standards will my students be assessed on? And the assessment is not like a fill-in-the-blank standard. It's an application of the standard. So now I know, when I'm teaching those 15 lessons, which standards I'm going to really be diving into, giving my students a chance to experience and get practice with, so that when we get to the assessment, they can show what they know about those standards. Here's another example of backward design, this time with vertical planning. At our school, the K through 4 special educators met as a team. For the meeting, each special educator focused on one grade level and pulled out what we consider the power standards, what we wanted every student to know at that grade level, be able to master, demonstrate. At the meeting, we collaborated. For example, the second grade teacher would work with the first grade teacher, look at those standards and say yes or no, add some, delete some, and the goal was, this is what we want first graders to arrive with when they come to second grade. So we did this for a while. It was a lot of adjustments. We actually put this on the wall. So every standard was on its own sticky note, color-coded, of course, and it was like a huge Tetris board. And at the end, you could see K, first grade, second grade, third grade, and fourth grade, and you could watch the journey of what students were learning those power standards from grade level to grade level. And you could clearly see the end goal, what we wanted our students to be able to do, and then work backwards. At the end, all of those sticky notes were typed up into one helpful reference tool, and it was a huge time saver. We were able to focus, zero in on those power standards, and we used these as we were assessing students, thinking about IEP goals and objectives, and of course, instruction. There are many helpful tools out there for backward planning. You do not need to reinvent the wheel. First is a scope and sequence. Do you have access to one? Maybe it comes with a curriculum that you're using, or maybe you can find one online. If not, you could also use the table of contents. I've done that before, where I might look at a whole unit and I see, okay, there's 15 lessons. I have 10 days. So now I need to look at the end, think, what do my students need to know, and pull out 10 days of instruction. That's going to save me a lot of time, and I'm going to get better results than if I just started with lesson one and hoped for the best. There's also a website that I used all the time. It's called Achieve the Core. Have you used it? You definitely want to check this out. It's for math, and what you can do is check on the standard that your student is working on, and it shows you the prerequisites that come before that standard. So there you can backwards plan. Okay, my students are working on this standard. This is what they need to know. They are struggling. What am I going to do? I can look at what came before that standard. I can go backwards and see where those gaps are missing. Very similar to using a diagnostic. Maybe you're focused in on life skills or social skills or early academics. You can use backward design for this as well. I have a set of basic skills checklists. And when you look at the checklist, you can automatically look at the end and see, okay, what is that end goal? And then you could move up the checklist and see what is each step that students are going to accomplish to achieve that goal. Now, we know that progress is not necessarily going to be linear, that they're just going to go smoothly down the line, but you have a much better chance of achieving your goal once it's been clearly identified. Think of that old analogy where if you are traveling and you aren't sure where you're going, how do you know when you get there? You know, if you don't type that destination into your map, your directions, how are you going to know when you've arrived? Exact same thing with instruction. And I just cringe when I think about my first few years where it was felt a little bit aimless. And it wasn't that we weren't working hard. We were working really hard. But without that clear goal in mind, it just didn't feel very efficient. Backward planning isn't just a method. It's a mindset. It helps us prioritize exactly the steps our students are going to be taking, and each step is aligned with their instructional goal. So thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check out the blog post for more information and practical steps to incorporate backward planning strategy into your lesson planning. And remember, sometimes looking backward is the best way to move forward. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'm dying to ask, what'd you think? Be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. You can find the show notes and links for everything mentioned in this episode at positivelylearningblog.com. See you next week for more special education solutions.